Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Hamas released 16 hostages during the pause in fighting today, among them an American. President Biden speaking from Colorado before boarding Air Force One.
Ziad Benin is safe in Egypt. She's crossed the border. I talked with her mother and father. They're very appreciative, and things are moving well. She'll soon be home with her three children.
More from CBS's Lilia Luciano.
We spoke with her family earlier, her father and her sister. Her sister traveled from Portland, Oregon. They're eagerly, anxiously awaiting her return, of course. But they say that this reunion that they're expecting will happen tonight will be bittersweet because her husband, Aviv, is still being held hostage.
It is the final day of Israel's ceasefire. Secretary of State Blinken is there now in intense negotiations about possibly extending the truce. If this happens, Mark Regev, a senior advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu, says
we should be receiving a list later tonight, but possibly in the early hours of the morning, which will say who is to be released tomorrow. And that means we can know that this process of the pause is bringing back our people, and it can continue.
Back in Washington, the House is expected to vote this week whether to oust Congressman George Santos. Speaker Mike Johnson isn't all in.
I personally have real reservations about doing this. I'm concerned about a precedent that may be set for that.
CBS's Skylar Henry reports on a final goodbye to former First Lady Rosalynn Carter.
A tearful pastor, Tony Loudon, called her the greatest First Lady.
Our First Lady excelled them all.
The 99-year-old former president also attended, as did the couple's extended family who remember the Carters' extraordinary marriage.
Dad got used to Mom disagreeing with him because she was really good at it.
Some help for asylum seekers in Chicago.
17 churches are opening their doors to migrants under the Unity Initiative, including Grace and Peace Church, which already offers a food pantry and a resource center filled with donations.
As long as the crisis is there, we're there.
This shouldn't be for anybody. We serve the homeless in Chicago, too.
Allison Keyes, CBS News.
You hungry while flying and hate waiting for the flight attendant to bring you a snack? Well, starting tomorrow, United will offer grab-and-go snack stations so you can get your own. The kiosks will include a limited supply of complimentary water and things like fruit bars and bags of snack mix. Some long JetBlue flights already offer a similar service. They call it the pantry. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 13 points. NASDAQ and S&P 500 both down. This is CBS News.
The holiday season is right around the corner. Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Give them a Steel. Visit your local Steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/gift guide.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Discover the secret to a healthier you at Lake County Botanics. Vape Walkie specializes in top quality hemp products from CBD to Delta 8, all curated just for you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Three former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices advising Assembly Speaker Robin Voss did not violate the state's open meeting laws. That's the ruling from Dane County Judge Frank Remington, who also says American Oversight can keep seeking records from the panel that recommended against impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. New research links emissions from coal-fired power plants to about 500,000 premature deaths in the United States over the past two decades. Karen Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin.
A lot of wind and solar is being added to the electricity grid every day, which is really exciting to see in Wisconsin, across the Midwest, and it just needs to ramp up faster.
Gallagher's group is working for stricter emission standards in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers losing their top running back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Braylon Allen was recruited out of Fond du Lac in Wisconsin as a linebacker, and after three seasons with the Badgers at running back, he's now declared himself ready for the NFL draft. Allen talked about the past year in Madison.
The amount of stuff that this team has been through, this group, just finding a way to stick together and come together, you know, in the big moments when we needed to. I think that says a lot about us, the culture that we have, and the brotherhood that we share in our locker room.
NFL, the Packers are shorthanded at tight end, with injuries to Josiah DeGora and Luke Musgrave, so they have signed Joel Wilson, a rookie tight end out of Central Michigan who had been with the Bills. NBA, the Bucks went at it back and forth against the Heat in Miami. Milwaukee got the win, 131-124. Giannis with 33, Damian Lillard had 32. Pat Connaughton went down hard in the first half, twisting his ankle. Adrian Griffin.
They're going to evaluate him in the morning. That's all I was told right now.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 27. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Mainly cloudy tomorrow night, 25. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, Refreshed. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight, I will be talking with Kevin Collin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Services, about Wisconsin's new initiative to combat the caregiver crisis. Also, since November is National Family Caregiver Month, I will be talking with my son, Caden Crute, who is a college student at Edgewood College and is part of their Cutting Edge program for adults with disabilities. Tonight, Caden and his fellow students are going to be sharing their gratitude for the caregivers in their lives. And then lastly, I will be speaking with Felicia Claiborne, a board member of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, as she talks about the transportation crisis that impacts thousands of non-drivers throughout our state. I am Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And joining me now is Kevin Collin from the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Services. Kevin, I am unable to get anybody's last name right, no matter how simple it is. So did I get that right? How do you pronounce your last name?
A little off. It's actually Kevin Cochlin.
Cochlin. See, I knew it. Yeah. Thank you for that, Kevin.
No problem.
And thank you so much for joining me tonight. I wanted to talk to you about what is going on in the state of Wisconsin regarding the caregiver crisis. But before we dig into that, can you just tell me a little bit about your role at the Department of Health Services?
Yeah, thanks, Liza. I'm really honored to be here with you today and to talk about, you know, just a really critical and important issue. So my role, I work for the Department of Health Services, and primarily I do a lot of work in our long-term care space. So people that are on Medicaid but receiving long-term care in their own homes or in assisted living or other community placements. So I do policy work, and currently I'm leading one of our American Rescue Plan Act projects, which was some funding that we received during the pandemic to help improve our home and community-based services. So we're doing a number of initiatives, and the one I'm leading is on our workforce.
Well, thank you for the work that you do. It is so needed, and I can only imagine there's never enough hours in your day with everything going on. I wanted to ask you or talk to you tonight about the partnership that you have with UW Green Bay to help address the direct care workforce issue. Can you tell me a little bit more about this program and how people can find more or learn more about it?
Yeah. With our funding that we received through the American Rescue Plan Act, we've been trying for a number of years to really help support the caregivers in our state and to do a number of different strategies. And one of the things that we've heard nationally from some national experts in the field is the importance of having a training program that is built around competency, and it can also be portable, and it can lead to career advancements for individuals. So we spent about a year really researching and participating in some national workshop programs to learn more about it and to look at what other states are doing. And then it came around to the idea of really developing our own caregiver certified direct care professional position. So it was really designed similar to like a certified nursing assistant, kind of on that same level, where a person would get this certification and then every 3 years get recertified, and it would give them standing and really help elevate the really difficult jobs that they have, and to show that this is a professional position as well. So that was kind of the start. And we partnered with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and they were the ones that helped us create the curriculum. And it's based on 14 distinct competencies that we feel are really important for a direct care worker.
Okay, and that's where I was getting a little tripped up. You and I were talking before the show started, because UW-Green Bay actually has on their website a Wisconsin Caregiver Academy. So they have many different areas in which they can support direct care workers and caregivers. But this is not... this program is something completely different. So I just want to clarify that, because I started out confused, and I want to make sure that other people, if they are interested in this program, know exactly where to go and how it's different. So let's just throw that out there so I don't forget later. If somebody is interested in taking this course, where would they go to learn more?
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons we went with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay was because they have had years and years of this experience. They have the academy. They've done a lot of other work with community-based residential facilities and other assisted living facility training. So that was kind of one our go-to then, is to go really work with an expert in this field. To find out more about this program, if you go to www.wiscaregiver, and that's WIS, the word caregiver, CDCP.com, and that is, the acronym is Certified Direct Care Professional. So okay. WIS Caregiver, CDCP.com.
Okay, and Certified Direct Care Professional. Tell me what exactly that is, because I think that's another area where there's just a lot of confusion. You hear direct care worker, you hear paid caregiver, and now we have certified direct care person. Are they all the same person?
Yeah, so it is it's a direct care worker that has chosen to really elevate their skills, take this training, become certified, and then that person is also on our registry, because they have to take a competency test to assure that they've met those 14 competencies that we built it around, and then it gives them that kind of that standing of, I am a certified direct care professional, similar to somebody that can say that I'm a certified nursing assistant. They've gone through standardized training. They show that they are competent in that field.
Okay, and two questions for you. So if I am a family caregiver and I am not getting paid, could I still take this course just for the educational purposes to make myself a better caregiver?
Yes, that's a great question. And we are offering that free to family caregivers as well. They don't get, you know, they don't get that next part, which is a bonus. And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit, I think. But yep. There's an opportunity to get bonuses too with this certification. Well, but as a family caregiver, they wouldn't be able to receive that part.
Okay. Well, now you spilled the beans, Kevin. You can't say bonus. We can't, and then say, oh, we'll talk about that bonus later. No, what's the bonus? I want to know what's the bonus.
Yeah. And that's a big part of it. So, anyone that takes our certified direct care professional certification, which is a 30-hour online on demand, so it can be done whenever a person wants to do it, and they can do it in short modules, they can come back to it. So when they complete that, they take a proctored exam, which is it's virtual, but it's live virtual. And they take that test. If they pass the test, then they're on the registry. And if they get a job with a provider who is in the community, so our home and community-based services, those are providers out there that are, you know, providing services in their home, in people's homes, in group homes, assisted living, those kinds of places, they would be eligible to get a $250 sign-on bonus if they're new. But if they're an existing employee at one of those providers, they would also get a stay-on bonus of $250. Okay. And then 6 months later, they get another $250.
Wonderful. So I'm asking for a friend of a friend who is, I guess, myself, because I also, I do some respite care work. And my question was, because I think this bonus would apply to me, is how many hours per week after you get the initial $250 bonus? Is there a number of hours, a number of clients? Is there any requirements to it above and beyond that?
No requirements. So this could be part-time, could be full-time. It could be sort of as needed. What we do is we validate after 6 months with that employer to make sure that they're still working for that employer. And okay. They'd get another $250. Okay. The check comes right to them in the mail. Does it go through the provider? It's they go to their mailbox and get that check.
Wonderful. Okay. And then let's see, what else was I going to ask? So if I'm understanding this correctly, you really want the goal for this is to become like a one-stop portal. Do I have that right for caregivers? I guess what my question is here is, once individual caregivers go through this course, how can they make the connection?
Right. So we have another part of a scope of work that we're also working with Green Bay on, and it's called WIS Caregiver Connections. And that is an IT portal that connects our employers and our job seekers, those certified direct care professionals that are coming through.
Wonderful. And I want to learn a little more about that once we come back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And when we come back, we'll learn more about this initiative to address the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, 1-844-967-2789.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane.
The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight I am talking with Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and we are talking about a new initiative that was rolled out to help combat the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. So just a recap here. There is on Wisconsin Caregiver Careers website, there is a course that you can take. It is 30 hours on demand at your own pace. Once you complete this course, correct me if I'm wrong on this part, Kevin, you have to be linked to one of the care providers in order to get an initial $250 bonus. Is that correct?
Yeah, a provider that is serving our home and community-based services, but it could also be someone who self-directs their own care or a respite care provider as well.
Okay, and so you take the course, you get a $250 bonus, and then after 6 months, there is an additional $250 bonus. I got that
correct.
Okay. And there's really no strings attached to that as far as how many hours per week you work, how many people you work with, just a retention bonus. Thank you for staying here. We hope that you're loving it. And I don't know how you can't love it. Like I said, I've done some respite work and it's always the highlight of my day. So tonight we are talking with Kevin Coughlin, the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. And so I want to ask, Kevin, many families work with different agencies. Some that come to mind in the Madison area are UCP, CLA, Catholic Charities of Madison. And within those agencies, there's also different funding sources such as Katie Beckett and IRIS. Does taking this course in any way help streamline you to be able to work with these different agencies and different funding sources?
Yeah, great question. And that was one of our main goals is to, you know, how do we kind of knock down barriers for caregivers and for providers and people that are sort of directing their own care. So the goal is really to kind of create this universal worker as a certified direct care professional where they can take that skills and work across different settings, different populations. It's not a one and done. People are still going to have to take more training based on, you know, their job assignments and the people that they're working with. But this is really good foundational training. And then another part of our work that's coming soon is what we're calling micro-credentials and virtual badging. And what that will do is we'll be, if somebody wants to upskill their kind of their resume and, let's say they really like working for older adults with dementia, they could get additional training in dementia and then get a micro credential. So on the registry, a person would have, would be a certified direct care professional and maybe have a badge as a dementia specialist or dementia challenging behaviors. So that would then be recognized on their registry, and also they could be using those virtual badges in their social media and different ways on their resumes and things, and on their WIS caregiver connections where they can try to get connected to providers and different people looking for employees.
So that's wonderful. I mean, that's really a win-win. It helps one, give them the education that they need to be able to do their job well, but also, you know, I'm assuming with these badges and credentials, it can help really make this into a career, which, if I'm reading between the lines here, is something that you're working towards. Does that, can you tell me more about that? Because I know that, let's just say that entry-level caregiving, it doesn't have a great reputation, although it's one of the most needed positions out there, especially today. If you go on any job hiring site, you see direct care worker, caregiver, whatever you want to call it, just pages and pages and pages. So what's Wisconsin's goal to make this a career? What steps can people take, and how can you advance?
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the main goals was we really wanted to elevate these positions and to really show how important they are to Wisconsinites and the difficult job, and to make sure that they're being recognized. And actually, one of the listening sessions that we had with direct care workers when we were designing this was they got to name what this was going to be called, and they wanted the word professional in it. So we're really proud of that, having that certified direct care professional, because they are professionals in their work. But we also heard from them that they are interested in career advancement. So we're working right now. We've worked a couple different things with our sister agency, the Division of Quality Assurance, that kind of regulates assisted living and personal care agencies. We've looked at all of the regulations that require training, and we've identified some of those training that people can be waived from because they're a certified direct care professional. So that's kind of, they talk about latticing, where people can kind of work across and not have to be duplicative, you know, just kind of start from scratch every time they move to a new job. And then the other thing is we're trying to do laddering. So we're working to see if we can ladder from a certified direct care professional to a CNA. And in Wisconsin, if somebody wants to become an RN, a registered nurse, most providers or most schools require the person to be a CNA. So we're also in the high schools looking at helping kids that are in like youth apprenticeship programs and HOSA to see that, you know, as I come in as maybe a freshman even, I could become a certified direct care professional, start working, you know, get my feet in this healthcare field. If it's something I like, maybe I move on to become a CNA even while I'm a senior. And then, you know, they're ready to start their RN schooling after that. So there's lots of, we're trying to create that, so, sort of those pathways, and to knock down, again, the barriers as much as possible.
Well, you know, I love that you said the feedback from the current direct care workers. Where is their voice in this? I mean, are they part of this process? Because again, I think it's a position that they feel a little powerless in, yet they're given a lot of responsibility. So where are the direct care workers in this training and you know, quite frankly, going forward?
Yeah, so they were a big voice in the development of it. So a lot of things that they suggested we incorporated as we were developing that curriculum. And then as we're moving forward, are the WISC Caregiver Connections, we are hoping that can be more than just connecting employers and employees, and then really have it a website that can support caregivers. And we've got some ideas on how to, you know, maybe even create networks of caregivers to talk to each other, things like that.
Well, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much, Kevin. And please keep me in mind as these things roll out. If you can shoot me an email or whatnot, I would love to get it out across the state of Wisconsin and do everything that I can to help support the caregiver crisis.
That would be great. Maybe have me back next year, because we're going to have the curriculum in Spanish at that time.
Sounds good, senor.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Hamas releases 16 more hostages, including American Liat Banin, who President Biden says is now safe in Egypt.
I talked with her mother and father. They're very appreciative, and things are moving well. She'll soon be home with her three children.
Israeli authorities say 30 Palestinian prisoners have been freed under the truce deal. Families of Hamas hostages testified on Capitol Hill before the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. Among them was Ruby Chen, parent of IDF soldier Itay Chen.
Time is ticking, and it's not in our favor.
CBS's Holly Williams has spoken with Ghazi Hamad, a senior figure in Hamas.
He said that Hamas is willing to release all the hostages they are holding. That includes all male hostages and Israeli soldiers in return for all Palestinian prisoners currently being held in Israeli prisons.
Talks are being held to try to again extend the pause. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Universities of Wisconsin privately suggested that chancellors eliminate liberal arts programs at low-income campuses. That's according to emails obtained by the Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison. On September 1st, Jay Rothman told chancellors it would be part of a long-term path to stabilize the UW system's finances. A UW spokesperson says Rothman values liberal arts education. Quick Trip is recalling some fruit that may be contaminated with salmonella. The Wisconsin company and the Food and Drug Administration say the recall is for three pre-cup, fruit cup, and tray products. The products use true fresh cantaloupe, which have the potential for salmonella contamination. The fruit cups and trays were also on the shelves at Quickstar, Stop and Go, and Tobacco Outlet Plus stores. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 27. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Mainly cloudy. Tomorrow night, 25. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And last week, if you were with us, I had a guest that I cut short. Well, I didn't even cut him short. I don't think I gave you any time at all. And that is my awesome sauce son, Caden Kroot. And Caden is joining me today because we are in the final days of National Family Caregiver Month. And I wanted to use this opportunity to give some shout outs to the caregivers out there that are working hard to make sure that their loved ones are cared for and have everything that they need. So I reached out to Edgewood College. So Caden, real quick, can you tell those listening a little bit about what Edgewood College is? What do you do at Edgewood College? Let's start there.
I am a sophomore at Edgewood College, and I go to the Cutting Edge program, and I'm there for an education degree.
Yes. So you are in the Cutting Edge program, which is a program specifically for
people with disabilities.
People with disabilities. Would you recommend it to other people?
Yeah.
Yes. You're learning a lot there, aren't you? How to be independent, how to work in the school system. It's been a great fit for you. So I reached out to some of your friends, in college to see if they had anything that they wanted to share with the caregivers in their lives, which could be their mom or their dad or their grandparents or people that are helping them out along the way. And I got some responses back. So we're just going to quickly read through these. Okay, Caden, so why don't you start off? If you want to give just the first name of the student and what they have to say.
First person is Nadia Veet, and she said, "My family has done a great job supporting me through everything. They may always make me laugh and smile. They were always there if I needed help with my homework."
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah, and wonderful.
Wonderful. And I'm going to read one from Bryce. Bryce wrote, "During my high school years, my best friend Sammy has been there for me. She's watched me all through my sports, and I'm like her fifth brother." Wow, she's got a lot of brothers. "My parents have supported me all the time, from scouts to going to Edgewood College to all the sports that I'm in. They have supported my goals and my achievements." Oh, that is so sweet of Bryce. Next is Brandon. What does Brandon have to say?
Brandon had to say, "Thank you, right at home, for taking me places. I really love going to the art museum, to the opera and orchestra performances. Thank you, Casey Sander, my friend, for fighting for social justice. Thank you to my mother for supporting me all the way. You always believe in me and support my goals. Thank you to the Cutting Edge program for my educational support." Wow, fabulous, Brandon.
That is fabulous. He has a lot of gratitude to a lot of people, and that is wonderful.
Excellent.
And Jacob had to say, "My mom and dad do a great job motivating me by getting me through the day. They give me advice when I might need it. They give me encouraging words to remind me to get my homework done and be on time."
Very splendid, Jacob.
Very splendid, Jacob. Who else is there?
Next up, we got Marie. She said, "I would like to say thank you to my mom and dad for being there throughout all my life. And my mom and dad had taught me how to ride a bike. And when I was a kid, I also taught me how to take swimming lessons and helped me with swimming. They also have been teaching me how to cook in the kitchen at home. They also taught me how to roller ski on ice." Wonderful, Marie.
Oh, those are some busy parents. Yeah. You know what I'm learning here? Parents do a lot of things, don't they, Caden?
Yes, they do.
And Catherine has to say, "I want to say thank you to my mom for supporting me and helping me and encouraging me and loving me." That's all you can ask for, huh? Who else is there, Caden?
Next up, we got George. Shout out to my roommate. One thing that I like to say about my mom is that she's always make sure that I'm on top of things like assignments and whatnot, because she is a teacher and that's her main thing. Something else that is, no matter what's going on or what I'm going through, I know I can always either text her or call her or tell her what's going on. And one thing I'd like to say about my dad is that he is one of the people who turned on me to music and has also helped me introduce me to guitar, because he is a guitarist. Something else that we run in a lot of errands together, like I'm his to go person. For as much as I don't want to go, I do enjoy it because he runs around and.
So what does he enjoys running around errands with his dad, because he tries to incorporate errands. That wherever, whenever he goes shopping. Thank you so much to my parents for all they do. So, okay.
And it sounds like he's saying he learns a lot from his parents too. So that's good too, George.
He does. And if I'm reading between the lines on this one, I think George likes going and running errands with his dad, because probably his dad is in and out and straight to the point and doesn't come home with $500 worth of grocery bags, right?
Yep. He's getting prepared for what it's going to be like when he's older.
Yeah. And if you had to go to the store with mom or with dad, who would you pick?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, most of my memories is going with you, to be honest with you. That's most of my memories since I was like 8 years
old.
Well,
yeah, I had to drag you wherever I went, you went. But I'm just saying, and you can answer honestly, I can handle this. If you had to go shopping, who would you rather go with, mom or dad?
Well, you, because I've done it more with you.
Okay, that is not the answer that I was expecting, but I'll take it. Yeah. I thought you would say dad, because one, dad buys everything at Quick Trip. If Quick Trip doesn't sell it, dad doesn't need
it. I was thinking more like grocery stores, though. Like, I've right. Most of my memories of you at grocery stores.
Yes, we spent a lot of time in grocery stores, didn't we? But let's read what Tyler had to say.
Yes, Tyler. Thank you to my mom and dad for taking care of me and helping me get to Edgewood College. Thank you for helping me be an independent young man. Thank you to my brother Spencer for helping me be an independent young man. Wow, very clever, Tyler. Very
That is good. Very clever. Yeah, that is very clever. And I said to you before we started this, we have a lot of these, so we have to read fast. What I didn't know is that you could read so dang fast. So you can feel free to slow down just a smidge.
Yep, and I'm gonna thank you to myself as well.
Yes. And I'm gonna read what Jack had to say. Oh, good old Jack. We love Jack at Edgewood, don't we?
Shout out to President Jack, student advisory.
President Jack had to say, my parents have really helped me become the person I am today. They have not only helped me with my schoolwork, but they've also helped me present my best self and be comfortable and be able to enjoy everything this world has to offer. I feel like they have also been a great source of communication, and I feel like I can go to them with anything I need. I also feel like I've had a lot of fun memories with them over the years. I bet you Jack did, because they seem like a fun family. They're another big music family, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what did Tristan have to say?
And he's in the rock. Tristan, my family has done a lot. I think that when I was going through a hard time and dealing with being in a hospital, there was a lot of family supporting me. When I was going through surgeries, I was surrounded by my family, and I owe them a lot because of that, because they keep me motivated and push me to be the best that I can be. Thank you all to my family. Very, very nice, Tristan. I also remember when you were talking to me about that summer class, that stuff during class too. So it's very good that you're supporting your parents because of it too.
So Tristan had to spend some time in the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been scary for both.
That had to have been.
Yeah, everyone involved. I also want to read what Lily had to say. Lily said, my dad and my mom take care of me and I really love them. They drive me around and they help me get the things that I need. I really like to go on walks with them and we have fun together. You know what caregivers do? A lot of driving.
Yes.
A lot of driving.
Uh-huh.
You and I have spent a lot of time in the car together, haven't we?
Yep.
Love it. I love it, though. It's my time with you.
Definitely.
What does Sarah have to say?
Sarah, my parents have helped me get into the Cutting Edge program so I can learn how to become an adult. My parents helped me go going to the doctor and getting food. My parents always tell me to try my best and not judge others. They encourage me to ask for help when needed. I really do love my parents so much. Sometimes they embarrass me, but that's okay. Thanks for everything, Mom and Dad.
Sometimes they embarrass. You've never been embarrassed by your parents, have you?
Please.
It's part of the job. It's part of the job description, I think. Claire says, my godfather has been in the Army for a long time, and he has taught me a lot about the Army. He has motivated me to go to college and is proud of me. My mom and dad do a great job motivating me by getting me through the day. They give me advice when I might need it. They give me encouraging words to remind me to get my homework done on time. You know what? Some of that was Jacob's, which I think we already read. But Jacob's parents probably deserve a double shout out because...
Yeah, double shout out to Jacob's parents.
Yeah. So who else do we have left here, Kaden?
Julian Christian, except it said he might join.
Oh, Julian. Julian said, what I love most about my parents is that they are always there for me when I need them. When there are tough things that I need to work on, I know that I can always ask them. I know you don't have this one circled, but what does Kaylin have to say?
Kaylin says, I would like to thank my parents for helping me out with my life and getting me through tough times. My parents are so kind to me and other people. I would like to thank them for taking me on family vacations and helping me with homework.
Nice shout out from Kaylin, and I think we got them. I think
yeah,
we got
it said
them all.
Christian was willing to join on Zoom, but I don't think he's with us right now.
Yes, nope. But I am sure that Christian would want to give a shout out to his parents.
Shout out to Christian too.
Yes, and to him as well. And to all of the caregivers that support their children through Edgewood. I think that they are a group of people that are really dedicated to their kids and want them to have the college experience. Do you have any other final words that you would want to say when it comes to the importance of your parents as your caregivers?
Like my thank yous?
Like your thank yous, or let me ask you this. Where do you find mom and dad helping you out most as a young man with a disability?
When there's situations that I cannot really handle myself because of disabilities, I think you're there for me in that way. For example, like those phone calls. I'd say the phone calls and like the security checks, those kind of stuff where we've had to have Zoom calls or calls.
So you're talking because you are an adult with a disability, you have a caseworker that's part of your she's considered your IRIS consultant. So we have to have monthly calls with her and come up with a plan. And you know, there's probably other parents that are listening that have children with disabilities. What advice would you give those parents so that they can help their child be the best that they could be?
Sorry, could you repeat the question again?
So there's probably people that are listening that have children with disabilities, and I'm just curious what advice you would give those parents so that they could help their children in being the best that they can be.
Well, I would say try to push them to do things, but you also need to remember that they have disabilities as well, and definitely when they are younger, with the whole being protective, it is good, but it's good as they get just a little bit older to be less protective, even if it's not quite the age of 18, because then it can make them learn how to be a little bit more independent. If you still feel like you need to be protective of them when they are over 18, that's totally fine too, but it's just
well, you know, yeah. I understand, and that's great advice, Kaden, and I see that sometimes with parents that have children with disabilities that you know, they really want to make sure that they're okay, and they kind of handle everything, and they don't always necessarily let their children to go out on their own and be independent and spread their wings. So we just have a few seconds. You want one final thought? Yeah.
Well, and just any parent in general. That's just parents and having kids in general.
That's just parenting. Parenting 101 from a non-parent. Kaden Crute, thank you so much, buddy, for helping me out today. Love you, and I'm glad that you can give a shout out to everyone at Edgewood.
Yep.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I am joined now by extraordinary self-care advocate, Felicia Claiborne, who is also a board member of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. Welcome, Felicia. Let me warn you, Felicia, that this interview is going to go by extremely fast. So I just want to ask you a few speed dating questions. Rattle off as quick as you can so we can get to your advocacy work. First of all, do you feel comfortable disclosing your disability?
Yes, I have a visual impairment. I am an albino. I have nystagmus. I have tremiscus. I have astigmatism. I also have plantar fasciitis in both of my feet. And also I have intellectual disability. So I have autism and I have anxiety disorder and depression.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Felicia. That in and of itself takes a lot of courage, and I admire all of the work that you are doing. I also want to ask you, so you're on board supporting people with disabilities, you present at conferences, and if I recall, you also do a podcast. Is all that true?
Yes, that is true. I have been doing two podcasts. One is under development, but one that I've been doing ever since July of 2019, called Kingdom Hope Connection Podcast, which I interview people from the faith base around the world. And the other one is under development that I've been doing since June of 2023, called Disability Cafe Podcast. So it's bringing the advocates, supporters, and disability community leaders together to talk about what they do, almost what you're doing, Liza, here.
Yeah, but you've been doing it longer, so I've got a lot to learn from you. Where can people find your podcasts?
Well, they can find Kingdom Hope Connection on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, which maybe now I'll be switching over to YouTube, on Amazon Music, so they can always ask their smart speaker, play Kingdom Hope Connection Podcasts. So, and also with Disability Cafe podcast will be on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts also.
You're everywhere. You are everywhere. Yes. Say the first one. I just turned up my microphone, but I didn't catch it. Can you say the first one loud and slow? Slow and loud.
Kingdom Hope Connections Podcast.
Kingdom Hope Connections Podcast. And that's your faith-based podcast. And yes. And what do you cover on that?
Mostly various faith-based topics. How that happened back in 2018, I wanted to do podcasting, but then at the time I had financial problems. So I started to look on the internet to create my radio show and found the platform and asked a lot of people that I were connected to on Facebook and other social media platforms, and they kindly said yes, and the rest is history. We talk about prayer and hope and love and all the good ones that people would love to hear that needs that hope in them darkest hours of their life.
I love it. Thank you for the work that you do on your podcast. And I can't wait to check it out. But what I really want to give you these last few minutes for, and like I said, this was going to go super fast, is you and I met at an advocacy training put on by Family Voices of Wisconsin. And you're there because you are an active advocate around the transportation issue. So I want to give you the rest of the time just to talk about what issues are going on in transportation, especially for those with disabilities, those that don't drive, and what you would like to see done.
So the issues that we're having is that a lot of the communities in Wisconsin does not have connecting transportation, especially within the Milwaukee area, Madison, Green Bay, all the surrounding cities that are happening where they can't go beyond the lines of their county to go somewhere. And so what is very important that we advocate and educate the community to be able to do that and to be able to say, we want things to be done and we want to see an expansion and a connection. So people that's from Milwaukee can get easily to Green Bay. People that's in Madison can be easy to get to Milwaukee. We know we got buses, but we want to do more. We really want to do more so we could be able not to be depending on family and friends, but to always depend on transportation. And transit makes Wisconsin works.
It does make Wisconsin work. And, you know, I love that. It's not only getting from point A to point B, right? It's about being able to live your life independently and not relying on others. Well, I guess that's what living independently means, right? Do you have any statistics out there about how many people are non-drivers in Wisconsin, or about how many people this would really benefit?
Most of the statistics that I have is mainly the ones that are in rural areas that are depending on caregivers, or either they can't get anywhere at all. So the biggest is in the rural areas, but mostly in those big cities, I could say that a lot of them are experiencing lateness to doctor's appointments and mm-hmm. also to their job. And so we need more. We just need more drivers in the Milwaukee area.
Well, Milwaukee and beyond. You know, I know I've shared with you in our class workshops together a little bit about my story, and I have a 19-year-old son with autism. And, you know, I'm fearful as I'm becoming an empty nester and kind of want to get out and do some things I haven't been able to do while I was being a mom, is who's going to take my son to where he needs to go? So, Felicia, I told you it was going to go super fast, so I'm going to ask you back on again so we can talk about this more, because I've heard you talk and you've got wonderful good things to say, and you have some really good solutions, and we need you on our team. So I'm going to give you that microphone one more time down the road.
Awesome. I will be glad to come back and talk.
All right. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.